Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Names mean something. We know that. I suspect, if not everyone in here, almost everyone in here, you've looked up what your name means. Or when you were trying to decide what to name your child or your pet, you looked up what that name meant. Or maybe it was a family name. You didn't have to look it up. It was just understood. My middle name is Lynn. I'm the fifth generation. My parents didn't have a choice. I was going to be Lynn. But names. So Naomi means pleasantness. It's what her parents presumably named her. And it got me to thinking about other names. People change their names all the time. There are some famous people in our culture that have names that you might not even recognize. Who knows who Reginald Kenneth Dwight is? Anyone? Elton John. Somebody back here knew that. I'm impressed. I might have changed my name too. No offense to anyone named Reginald. Doris Marion Kappelhoff. Doris Day. Kappelhoff is not a name that fits on a marquee. Doris Day. Madonna was Madonna Louise Ciccone. The artist formerly known as Prince, who was Prince, his name was Prince Rogers Nelson, and the list goes on. Bruno Mars was Pete Jean Hernandez. Yeah. And then you have names like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. They didn't even try to come up with names for those guys. They just called them what they were. Dopey, Sleepy, Doc, Grumpy, you remember the story. There are some names that get changed because people mature. I have a friend for years, his name was Chris. He went to college, suddenly he was Christopher, and he would correct you every time. So when we talk about him among our circle of friends, he is Chris. When we talk to him, he is Christopher. Timmy becomes Timothy, Vicky, Victoria. And then there's other names in Scripture that they just mean something. We heard recently about Jacob, whose name literally means heel grabber. That was not necessarily a compliment at the time, but heel grabber. And Ruth, her name means compassionate and friend. Hannah, favor or grace. God graced her with Samuel. And so she named Samuel Samuel, which means God has heard. Names mean something. They might say where you're from. The name in the New Testament, early believer Lydia, her name means she's from a place called Lydia, which was a region on the west coast of the Asia Minor. Mary Magdalene was from Magdala, which is a village on the Sea of Galilee. Our name might talk about a task that's ahead. You take on a new name or you're given a new name. Abram means father. Abraham, father of many. Sarai, my princess. Sarah, noble woman. Saul became Paul. Jesus changed Simon's name to Simon Peter. On this rock, I will build my church. It goes on and on and on. So, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Well, that's not very nice. If you had a friend who said, don't call me Doug, call me Vinegar. Or don't call me Elizabeth, call me Acid. Or don't call me Jennifer, call me Grumpy. I mean, she was giving herself a new name as if she was taking on a new identity. She had blinders about what was really going on around her, and she could only see the negative, the bad, the harsh, the sadness, the loss, the grief, the hunger. I'm sure none of us can relate to that. But not quite to the point of changing our name to aggrieved or indignant. Even Grumpy, the name in Snow White, even Walt Disney knew enough that if you pay attention at the end of that cartoon, which I would argue is for adults, not for children, If you pay attention at the end, even Grumpy smiles a time or two. It's not a sentence. It's not forever. She was bitter because she felt like she had lost everything. A lot of biblical scholars compare Naomi to Job. We know his story. She embraced all of the negativity and the hurt and the pain and the loss and took it on as her new lot in life, much like a prisoner in shackles. And only focusing on the loss made her bitter, like sour coffee. Some people suggest that we should read the book of Ruth, one of the shortest books in the Bible, as a response to loss. A little bit of backstory. At this point, Naomi has been gone from the land of Judah approximately 20 years, about 10 years with her husband and her two sons, and then about another 10 years with her daughter-in-laws, neither of which had children. Her husband dies. Her sons die. We don't know how. We speculate. It really doesn't matter. Naomi is left with two widowed daughter-in-laws that are childless. And she believes that she can no longer bear children. And even if she did, it wouldn't help her situation. Returning, to return, that phrase is mentioned 10 or 11 times, depending on your translation of the Hebrew text, in the first chapter of Ruth. To return, to return, to return. What are they talking about? Well, you see, Naomi grew up in the land of Judah. So for 20 years, she was a visitor. She was an outsider. I don't think she ever really settled into Moab being her home. And when her husband and sons were gone, of course she wanted to go back to the only home that she knew. Moab is her past. And somewhere, at first, we don't even know exactly where she's headed. Just somewhere in the land of Judah is her future. She knows, she's heard the rumors that God remembered her people there. And remember, they're in the midst of a great famine. She heard that in the land of Judah, there's food. But we know, even those of us who have had a few less seasons in our lives than others, even our youngest friends know, journeys are not always point A to point B. Be kind of nice if they were sometimes, but it also might be a little boring. Journeys go up and they go down and they make curly cues and they go backwards. And sometimes it feels like they are never going to go in the right direction. And sometimes you get close to the mountaintop and you look back and you say, oh my goodness, how did I survive that? Those are what journeys of faith look like. And that's very much what Ruth and Naomi were on. Naomi returned truly believing, though, that she was empty. Imagine going back to your childhood home. You've been gone for 20 years. You probably look a little bit different. You've aged. You've been through a lot of loss and grief. You're hungry. You're poor. And you see a group of women off in the distance who see you coming, and they're like, is that Naomi? Kind of look, but no, surely. That lady looks old and tired. And then her friends realize, this is Naomi. They would have played together as children. And she says, call me Mara. She is so stuck in her bitterness and her self-imprisonment and her grief that she cannot imagine ever feeling pleasant, much less being pleasant again. So she pretty much just says, okay, let's get this over with. I've been through a lot, and let's just call me Mara. I'm not the person you knew all those years ago. The whole town, we're told, was stirred when Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem, literally house of bread. And the local women say, is this Naomi? And then this, I think this is key for us as a church family. They didn't even need a committee to make it happen. It just happened. They created a safe space for Naomi to grieve and to vent and to be angry with God and to process with people who loved her, no matter what words came out of her mouth, no matter what bitterness she was feeling in her heart. They provided a therapeutic, holy, safe place to allow her to just be a human being. "Call me Mara," she said. If we had read a little earlier in the text that Charlie read for us in Lamentations, I'm going to summarize it for you. We know that God's steadfast love endures forever, but these are some of the things that those readers were suffering with. They were afflicted under God's wrath. They were in total darkness. Their flesh and their skin wasted away. Their bones were broken. They were enveloped in bitterness and tribulation. They were walled in with heavy chains. Their paths were crooked. They became a laughingstock of others, and they forgot what happiness even is. And then they remembered to turn to God. No matter how bad things seem or feel, no matter what life throws at us, God is always bigger. God's steadfast love endures forever. I heard this in a movie recently, and I racked my brain trying to remember who to give credit to. Apologies, I can't remember. But the quote said something like, "Emotions are feelings, and they're gifts to help guide us on our journeys, but they're not sentences. They're not destinations." I thought that was a nice way of looking at that. It's just a season we go through, and 5 minutes later, your emotions might change. They teach us, they care for us, the Holy Spirit is certainly in them, but joy comes in the morning. So we, like Ruth did, like Naomi's oldest friends did, there are times when we hold the light for one another. I know that I have been in seasons of my life where my friends carried me. I know that many of you have been in similar situations, or you've been with a friend who quite literally carried you. Sometimes we need to provide that hope that makes the journey of our life, the collaborative journeys of our faith, possible. Looking at our fears and our wounds and loss and addictions and heartbreak, if you look at your naked self all alone, it is terrifying. But we're never alone. And so, like the choir will sing in today's anthem from the spiritual, there's a balm in Gilead. There's a balm in Gilead. It makes the wounded whole. Heals the sin-sick soul. You can feel and tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. Friends, when we release and accept that we are not prisoners of our life situation, and we discover that more often than not, the prisoner, or whatever we've labeled ourselves, bitter, angry, grieving, hurt, betrayed, those are labels of our own doing. And when we release the prisoner, God sets us free. So you see, the good news of the gospel for us today, the good news that flows from this story from Ruth, who had Obed, who became an ancestor of David and part of the lineage of Christ, all because of a journey that she took with Naomi. The good news, the gospel for us today, is that God created the world for good, and God called it good, and God calls us good. God calls us God's children, and created all of us in his divine image. Rebecca helped get me started on today, and she sent me a text late last night with this quote. It's perfect. Sometimes you have to let go of the picture of what you thought life would be like and learn to find joy in the story you're living. Sometimes you just have to let go. The gospel is, as Jesus specifically tells us in the book of John, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Throughout scripture, we are never told, okay, go worry, go be afraid, go be sad, go be bitter, go be angry. We see people in scripture with those emotions for sure, from Genesis to Revelation. But God never tells us to stay in those places. But over and over and over and over and over again, what are we told? Do not fear. Even Jesus' parable that some of you unpacked this morning in Sunday school, there's a pearl that starts as a grain of sand. Well, if there's no rubbing or tribulation or movement, it will never become a pearl. And that grain of sand doesn't become a pearl overnight. It takes time. But look at what God can do with a grain of sand. Imagine what God can do with us if we open up our hearts to that possibility. We are told, follow me. We see God's children on journeys, and both literal and journeys of faith throughout scripture and throughout our lives. It's rarely easy. I've had the privilege of being at a number of bedsides when someone is dying or passed away. I have never heard anyone say, that was so easy. That no one's life is easy. I don't know where we get that idea. No one ever said it was supposed to be. But what we do know is that God is with us. And so Naomi returns to the land that she knows. Naomi goes home. Ruth becomes the visitor. I'm shocked, and I want to take just a second on this. I'm shocked when I read this, given that she's my namesake. I've read this book a few times. I'd never noticed this before. When Naomi says, call me Mara, I am empty, I am bitter. Who is standing right beside her? She's not empty. She's not alone. She's put those walls up for herself, and she's allowed to feel grief and pain for sure. But Ruth just traveled days and days away from her homeland, gave up everything to be with Naomi. And Naomi is back at home in a land where, as they arrive, they're harvesting the barley. There's plenty to eat. There is always, always something to be thankful for. The love that she shares with Ruth as this story unfolds bears fruit, as love always does, a new life. Ruth literally bears Obed, and it's as if his, not biological, but might as well be grandmother, just adopts him. And did you pay attention when you heard this story in Sunday school growing up at who named Ruth's baby? It wasn't Ruth and Boaz. It wasn't even Naomi. It was her friends that met her and said, is this Naomi? Her friends who, according to scripture, never once actually called her Mara. They kept calling her Naomi. And they said, here is Obed, whose name means to restore, or another translation, the server. Obed is a reminder to all of us of the importance of trusting God and allowing our faith to build on hope, even in the face of our deepest despair. But hope is not passive. Hope is an active verb. And it requires a willingness to listen and the bravery to act, so that in time we too might see Obeds in our lives, signs that our children and our children's children, not necessarily just biologically, but children of faith, will continue to sing God's praises. And will remember that they never have to call themselves Mara, or bitter, or sad, or angry, or lonely, or bullied, or scared. At the very least, we are all children of God, whatever name our parents gave us. Hold on to that. May we find, as Naomi did, healing and comfort. May we trust that God holds our burdens and fears. May we accept God's invitation throughout Scripture to loose the bonds of pain and exchange them for hope. God, as we prayed this morning, wants to calm our fears and bless our lives. It's that complicated because our journeys are crazy, but it's also that simple. May we walk with each other. May we walk side by side as we too journey in our faith to our forever home. In the name of God, the Creator, God, the Redeemer, and God, the Sustainer, we pray. And all of God's children said, Amen.